You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, if you have an office job, do you have one of those big, clunky, complicated desk phones? Is it bafflingly difficult to use to where you'd rather just use your cell phone? A technology expert tells us why many of us fear the office phone. First, it's time for our weekly review of news from around Wisconsin. Governor Walker talked to reporters for the first time since his loss in the midterm election. UW-Stevens Point is revising proposed cuts to academic programs, and a lawsuit from a Wisconsin environmental group is trying to block a metal mine in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. Rob, thanks for being here.
Why, thank you.
And Rob, Governor Walker talked to the media yesterday for the first time since his election loss. And here's a listen to what some of the governor had to say about this idea of moving the date of a 2020 presidential primary election so it wouldn't coincide with the state's spring elections, including a Supreme Court race. Here's a listen.
The bottom line is I was in county government. I always thought it was odd that those of us who were in nonpartisan office were on the ballot at the same time as there were partisan elections. It just seems like there's a disconnect to that. I don't know exactly what they're going to propose, if anything, there, but I just know as a local official, that was always something that was odd.
So this is one of the headlines out of what the governor had to say. Rob, talk about what this change could mean, why it might happen.
Right. So this is all about, I mean, it seems to be motivated by a desire to protect Governor Walker's Supreme Court nominee who will be up for election in 2020. The Democratic Party is going to be having a hugely consequential presidential primary in 2020. And as the law stands now, that primary would fall on the same date that Wisconsin's statewide Supreme Court race would fall. So the logic goes, the Democrats are having a big primary, Republicans will, you know, presumably not be having one. And so that's likely to have drive up Democratic turnout and make it hard for a conservative Supreme Court justice to gain election.
Right. And the way elections work here in Wisconsin, Supreme Court justices are nonpartisan. With an asterisk, people generally know which one's the Democratic and which one's the Republican Supreme Court candidate. So hypothetically, that really could swing a race.
Yeah, no, and right, there's evidence of it in the past. It makes a difference for sure. And now it's not like it depends. You know, what's going to the case in 2020 might be different. You know, in 2024 and beyond. So it's a slightly odd way to make state laws, but like the impact is real enough. And on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, so right now the court has four conservative justices, three liberal justices. There's an election next year for an open seat because the former Chief Justice Shirley Abrahamson is retiring. She's one of the liberal justices. So this could be an opportunity for conservatives to expand their majority on the court, but we are coming off an election where Wisconsin just elected a slate of all Democrats to statewide offices. So Republicans maybe don't like their chances or at the least are worried about their chances in that race. And then that would mean, so if a liberal candidate does win in 2019, that would mean that the 2020 court election would have the potential to tip the balance of the court.
And is there pushback on this idea saying, oh, hey, wait a minute, don't use this lame duck session to tweak the way elections work?
Of course. Democrats are making the case that they are that they're making up rules, that this is changing the playing field here in an unfair way for partisan reasons. The Republicans have the power to do this, and we'll see. Even Governor Walker in that clip that you played was not committing that for sure this legislation would advance, but it is something that could happen, whether or not regardless of any sort of political backlash.
And this was the first time that Governor Walker had really talked publicly about his election loss. The way the timing worked out, he didn't do a concession speech on election night because that went really late. He had a written statement that came out the next day, officially conceding the race. How did he talk about the outcome of the election?
So he talked about being the victim of a blue wave, or you know, he attributed his loss to massive turnout among Democrats motivated by opposition to Donald Trump, and I think that that political analysis is fair enough, right? I mean, that's you know, in the same way that Walker came into office in 2010, which was a red wave, a wave election for Republicans, and that was a great benefit to him and to the legislators who took control that year. This year it went the other way, and that's politics. But it is yeah, that's sort of his reading on the thing is this, yeah, it's not me, it wasn't my performance or policies. It's just this is a bunch of turnout.
We're rounding up some of the news of the week from around Wisconsin with Rob Mentzer from the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Moving on to some other stories out there, a new announcement, Rob, from UW-Stevens Point. Earlier in the year, they'd said, hey, we're looking at cutting 13 major programs, mostly in the humanities and social sciences. There's some student protests and backlash. Now they're out with a new plan, still some cuts and revisions. What are we seeing there?
Right. So the university unveiled the somewhat scaled down plan that to cut six majors instead of 13. Six is less. That is fewer majors. They would still cut history, geography, French, German, some other areas. But and this makes a difference. They would not cut some larger programs, including English, political science, art. Sociology, all of those had been on the chopping block in the old plan. So it's being perceived, the reception to this announcement has been undoubtedly more muted on campus and in the community because it is less dramatic than the one that was introduced in the spring. It does reflect some of the same pressures, some of the same philosophies, I guess, as UWSP tries to figure out how to adapt to its own declining enrollment and troubled budget situation. But yeah, I mean, six is a lot fewer than 13, and I guess that makes a difference in how it's being perceived.
Right, that issue of budgets and declining enrollment, it's not just a UW-Stevens Point story. Other campuses around the state are dealing with similar issues. And you mentioned the philosophy issue, the idea of how much are we doing what we consider the traditional well-rounded education concept versus workforce preparedness, training students in useful skills that they'll have in the job market. That's part of the debate here too, right?
That's absolutely is the driver of the debate, and the chancellor at UWSP in Stevens Point, Bernie Patterson, has put his chips down squarely on the side of vocational that's too strong a word, but career oriented training, and folks in the liberal arts naturally see that as a vote of no confidence there. He also makes the case that university may not be able to be all things to all people, so that there's a question there. Does every campus need to offer a French major? Or if you want to major in French, you just know that you have to go to whatever place. So, I think there are nuances in the argument here. But yeah, I mean, broadly, this is a move by the administrators in Stevens Point to add career-oriented programs, and that comes at a cost of some liberal arts programs.
And I want to finish up by a look at this lawsuit from a Wisconsin environmental group. It's against the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers, and it's all about this Back 40 mine, a project actually just over the border of Wisconsin in the UP of Michigan. This is near Marinette, a gold and zinc mine proposal. What is this lawsuit all about?
Right. So this is a mine in the UP, and of course it's of high interest in northeastern Wisconsin and even Green Bay because of potential environmental effects in that region and potential economic impacts as well on Wisconsin. And this week, a new lawsuit by a citizens group is they're trying to stop the project, and their argument is that they're suing the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers on the argument that it's the federal agencies that really should be in charge of permitting the project, and they should not have done what they did, which was say that it's up to Michigan state authorities. And the reason is because it's right on the border, because it's right on a waterway. They say that these impacts, you can't just say this is just a Michigan project.
And this is there's a concern over the Menominee River in particular. Now, as we've talked about before, Rob, lawsuits, they can take a while. Do we have any sense of the timeline with this just being filed this week?
Oh, I don't. These things take a long time. This can be understood as a bit of a last-ditch move by these activists, although last-ditch moves have a way of taking a long time in court, too. What triggered it is all the final permits were granted as of June. The project received all of its permits from the state of Michigan to move forward. So this is what's left is to try for the activists to try to argue that those permits should not be sufficient in themselves.
We'll leave it there for now. Rob, thanks as always for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Rob Metzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's with us each week to check in on what's happening around the state.